Homelessness is one of those life issues which gets the suffering and silence tag attached to it. Some members of our homeless population are fairly clear to see. Others try to hide their troubles, either out of pride, embarrassment, some other personal reason. Still, as the findings of a recent Housing and Urban Development report shows, the homeless population in America continues to grow. Here to examine this issue, why this trend continues, is the senior fellow of the Discovery Institute Center on Wealth and Poverty, as well as the executive producer of the documentary Americans with No Address and the feature film No Address that's being released into theaters February 28th, Dr. Robert Marbert. Thanks for being here today, Doctor.
Thanks for having us, and more importantly, thank you for caring about the homelessness crisis.
Well, this is an issue. We'll get into what New Jersey has done recently in a minute. I want to give you four websites, which, of course, we have at our homepage regarding Dr. Marbert's work, but I want to make you aware of them. For the Discovery Institute, discovery.org. Another project of Dr. Marbert, fentanyldeathincorporated.org. And for the documentary Americans No Address, the obvious, americansnoaddress.com. And for the upcoming feature film No Address, noaddressmovie.com. And again, we have those links at our homepage. The report we're referring to shows from HUD that the U.S. saw an increase of 18.1% in homelessness this past year. It seems like people hear that number, must be confusing, because certainly homelessness, you say it's, oh yeah, I know of it, but is this proof that people really don't understand much about it?
Exactly. A lot of people don't know some of the basic, even how you count the data. So, for example, the Housing and Urban Development, or HUD, the report you mentioned that came out 2 days after Christmas and day after Hanukkah, that report talks about five different categories of adult males and females homelessness. And then the Department of Education, they count children homelessness and family homelessness. So they have another five criteria. So a lot of people, the U.S. government doesn't make it easy. But the big takeaway in the report that did come out was there was an 18% increase year over year, and in the last 4 years, it's almost increased 40%. And that's the bigger, scarier number, because we're at a point now that in many parts of our country, we're doubling every 4 years now.
And if you look at the map on one of the pages of the report, we'll put a link up to the report as well on our homepage, because it has a whole wealth of information, which I think if you spend a little time with it, will give you that needed understanding of the issue. And this sounds like the cliche, but homelessness has no boundaries. You look at one of the maps and it'll show in color coding the population ratio, with, this might surprise people, New York and Oregon having the highest homeless population ratios. But if you look at the overall numbers, California, New York, Florida, Texas is a high number as well. Hawaii, you figure for a smaller population to have almost 12,000 homeless in that population. The report actually gives you the understanding that in my backyard, in my neighborhood, there's probably someone who I see, who I work with, who I know is probably homeless. But like I said back in the intro, they're suffering in silence.
Absolutely. And homelessness is everywhere in America. Obviously, it's most pronounced in the West Coast cities of, you know, San Diego, L.A., Santa Barbara, San Francisco, Seattle, Portland, and now Honolulu. That's used to be what, and candidly, a lot of people just didn't care about homelessness because, oh, that's their problem, or it's a New York, Jersey problem, or tri-state problem. But now homelessness, rural homelessness, is all through the Midwest. We have homelessness in the South now, except for a handful of pockets of cities that are really doing it right and basically not following the federal government suggestions. They do it in a very customized way. Like San Antonio's had an 85% drop for 15 years. Pinellas County, Florida's had a 75% drop for almost a decade and a half now. So there's some places really doing it well. Fort Smith, Arkansas, a real small community doing it real well. But the places that are doing it real well, The one thing they have in common is they're not following the federal guidelines. They're doing it themselves rather than following what the federal government has asked them to do.
So what is it about the federal government policy that's missing the effectiveness mark?
Well, pre-2012, the federal government said when you give away a housing voucher, a person also has to be in a treatment and recovery program, because on the street-level homeless, the adult males and females you see out the window of the car, 75% of those people are experiencing also untreated mental illness with co-presenting substance abuse. In other words, they're self-medicating. And so the cheapest drug of choice in the local community varies around the country. And so since 2012, when the voucher started being given out, treatment stopped. And the reason why they did that is they cannibalized the money that they were using for treatment in order to try to create more housing vouchers. And it turned out that really backfired, because what we're finding out is if you don't deal with treatment first, the housing doesn't stick. They lose it a second, third, fourth time, and that then ultimately end up on the street or in a jail or in an emergency room.
This is something, too, from what I understand, President-elect Trump wants to reinstall and remandate the treatment element of housing. But is that for housing vouchers or for access to affordable housing?
That's really to the first, but it might also be the second, you know, when they start looking at it. They're talking about that, too. And what is clear is the approach being used now, which the term for the approach is housing first, where the theory was we give you a voucher and then everything else will fix itself. I actually do it. I do two comparisons. One is, imagine if you did Pell Grants the way we do homelessness subsidies now. A Pell Grant would say, I'm going to give you $7,000-$8,000 a semester for a college student every semester, and you don't have to go to class, you don't have to go to school, you don't have to have a GPA, you don't have to finish in a certain period of time, you don't have to sign up for a full class load, and until you graduate, we're just going to keep sending you a check every semester. That's what Housing First is. We keep sending you a voucher, and we never ask you to get into treatment. And that all, again, that changed in 2013. And so, or another way to do it is a medical one. And I hope neither you or I have a heart attack, but if we have a heart attack, EMS will pick us up, take us to the emergency room. Housing First is the equivalent of being taken to the emergency reception room and not seeing a doctor, not getting tests, not getting any lab work, not getting any EKG. We just keep you in the reception room. You got a roof over your head. We got you in the reception room, but you're not seeing doctors. You're not getting treatment. Nobody would tolerate that. But that's what we do on homeless. We just give you a voucher, and there are no requirements for treatment anymore.
Throw in Dr. Robert Malbert, who is a senior fellow with the Discovery Institute Center on Wealth and Poverty, also executive director of the documentary Americans with No Address and feature film No Address, discovery.org. And there's other websites as well connected with Dr. Malbert, which we have at our homepage. And you are listening to Issues and Ideas. Want to use one of the stats from the report to demonstrate something that's happening in New Jersey and elsewhere, but since we're based in New Jersey, it conveniently serves as this point of conversation. Percent change in homelessness in New Jersey from 2007 to 2024 was a drop of 26.3%. Sounds great, doesn't it? So someone listening here in New Jersey might be thinking, now, wait a minute, why are they instituting a whole new affordable housing program in New Jersey if that's the case? Well, let's look at the stat. Percent change from 23 to 24. Homeless rate in New Jersey went up 24.3%. So that's why, doctor, they're instituting affordable housing programs in New Jersey. When I say affordable housing, I mean a detail. I mean, they spent a couple of years for each and every community. This isn't some generic blanket statement. Every community has a specific number that they have to attain over a course, I believe it's a decade.
Correct. And the goal in 2013 was that all homelessness would end, and the federal government, they adopted the federal homelessness, what was called the Housing First policy. the goal and the stated sort of pledge or promise was that all homelessness would end in 10 years, specifically homelessness would end in 2015, chronic homelessness would end in 2016, family homelessness would end in 2020. All those, by the way, are before COVID, so you can't blame this on COVID. You can't blame it on economic conditions. That's a piece of it, but that's not the only. You can't blame it on, you know, immigration. That's a recent issue here. And there's a lot of blame going around rather than saying maybe the program we adopted is not doing well. Whereas Pell Grants are starting with all the improvements that have been made to Pell Grant for college students. They're not perfect, but they really are much better than they used to be. They're really doing what they're supposed to do, and it's because they have participation requirements in it. And so I think if we could get the federal government to get back in to get participation requirements in and put the right amount of money into emergency services rather than always buying a housing voucher. Sometimes emergency services are more, you know, think about it. If you have somebody going to the ER for a heart attack, do you buy them a gym membership, or do you say, we really need to get you to the doctor to the emergency room to restart your heart, and let's get you stabilized first, then buy you the gym membership?
Here's the interesting question, curiosity, annoyance, maybe all of the above. Homelessness among veterans dropped by 8% in 2024. Unsheltered veterans, even more, 11%. Look long range, I believe the number was from 2007 to 2024, 55% drop. Why aren't we learning from this and applying the ideas that presumably the VA and a few other organizations did as advocates for the veterans? Why can't we take from what their actions teach us and apply it to the entire homeless population?
Can I give you an amen? I bring this point up every single day in the work I do. The difference is with the VA, they said, we're not just going to give a voucher. You know, we're going to get you a voucher. But part of that voucher, we're going to treat the untreated mental illness, and especially with service veterans. We're going to deal with the post-traumatic stress. If you are a female service veteran, we're going to take care of what's called military sexual trauma. About a third of the women that have been deployed over the last 15 years report some level of sexual harassment. That's not all super chronic level or super acute level. That number is obviously a lower percent, but that adds to the stress in theater. And so not just, and unlike, think about in Vietnam, we did sort of, most people were doing 3-week cycles. So you did 1 to 2 weeks in theater, you know, in a combat hot zone. You did 1 week preparing for that. And then you sort of took 1 week sort of rest and relaxation. It was sort of this rotation that went on. But for most of the people involved in Iraq, Afghanistan, the global war of terror, there was no days off. There was no week off. You were always in the hot zone. You were always in combat. You had, RPG fire coming in on your roof and every night. And so that trauma, if we don't get honest about dealing with military trauma, in particular post-traumatic stress, you don't get recovery for military service. And that's what the Veterans Affairs Office has done, is they've said, when we give you a voucher, we're going to aggressively help you treat that either post-traumatic stress or military sexual trauma. That's why they've been so successful. It was a voucher with treatment, not a voucher without treatment.
As I said before, we have the link to the HUD report on our homepage. Spend a little time with it, because the understanding, I think, is going to compel you to help those organizations where you are that help the homeless do their work with more strength and better guidance as well. Learn more about the Discovery Institute and the Center on Wealth and Poverty, discovery.org. Also spend some time with the links for the two movies, America's No Address and No Address, because those two projects humanize and help you connect stronger, more strongly with the issue as well. Dr. Robert Marbert, you help us gain the understanding that we need to bridge that gap that exists, which has allowed this problem to continue to grow. Thank you for the work that you do. Thank you for being here today.
And thank you for having me, and more importantly, thank you for caring for the fentanyl crisis and the homelessness crisis. Really appreciate it.